finds Depay, Memphis Depay, goes for goal, Depay! He's done just that, he scored! Juninho's done it! Oh, the stadium has erupted here, the relief is palpable all around.
Nabil Fekir shoots and scores. Well, there's a finish and a half from Nabil Fekir to double the Lyon lead 2 minutes before half time, and Manchester City in real trouble on the opening night of the Champions League. Oh, it's in again! It's Dembele again! And he's come off the bench to score twice!
Bonjour, welcome and bienvenue to the Footballwell English podcast. I'm your host Liam, and as always I'm joined by Tom. Tom, how are things with you?
Well, we've come off a week without a loss. That's a real big positive. Big progress made by OL this week, so positive.
Yeah, big things are happening both on and off the pitch in terms of transfers, and as always I'm joined by yourself, Jonathan. How are things with you?
Everything's good, just another wonderful transfer window with a really competent sporting director.
Yeah, I'm sure you can tell from both the sarcastic responses from Tom and Jonathan there stating how they are. I'm sure in their personal lives they're completely fine, but when you have to watch and cover a well on a weekly basis, it's hard to stay positive. We'll try to do that in this episode, but as Tom said, we've got two results to dissect briefly. 4 points, which for a club like Lyon seems quite decent, although when you take apart the opponents, not so good. Against Ajaccio with a 2-0 win and a 0-0 draw against Brescia. We'll start with Ajaccio. I guess the main positive to take from that, Tom, is that, you know, we're starting to see some more goals from midfielders. Johan Le Penel scored his first professional goal for, well, himself and Lyon as well.
Yeah, I mean, not a positive. Our fans managed to go home on time. I mean, they had to leave the stadium early, but at least they got home. And there was, you know, I'm going to say it, that, you know, they showed character, especially off the pitch at the end when we had to fight against the fans. But that's more than usual, I guess. That's a big positive. Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty terrible game. I was quite happy to watch the Wrexham FA Cup tie at the same time, because otherwise my Sunday afternoon would have been awful. Like, just coming out of that was like, oh, good, we got a win. I've got a hangover and we got a really, really terrible game out of this, but we got the win and we got to take those at some point. You know, before we start getting some Barcelona-esque football, we're going to have to scrap out some wins, and clearly we can't do that regularly. So let's take those as we can.
Exactly. I guess the 3 points is the big thing to take away from the game. Although, again, when you take into aspect of the opponent, Ajaccio and Barcelona, as you've just mentioned there. Looking beyond the 3 points, Jonathan, was there anything you could be really happy with from a performance perspective?
This is a hard question. I'm really trying to be positive this new year. Something positive. We didn't concede a goal. Lovren seems like a good defender, and that's good. Okay, you have to take clean sheets. Some people really love clean sheets. That's the positive. Le Penel scored a goal. That's good for him. Good for his confidence. Yeah, I think that's it. And Lekker scored another goal to add to his tally. But, you know, like you said, in times like this, we can't be stingy. We have to take the points. You win a game on the road. There are not many wins on the road this season. You know, this is something to be satisfied with. You know, it's never easy going to Corsica and getting a win. And we did it, so let's move on. It's a It's a good win. I just we'll talk about the problems with it. I just don't like the lineup and the organization and, you know, changing formations every game.
Yeah, you said it's not easy to go to Corsica and get a win. I don't think it's easy to get to Corsica in general, to be honest. But in terms of the performance, the players look like they had a difficult time getting there and a difficult time playing there as well. As you said, it's hard to find positives from that. I guess the fact he scored two goals is great, but when it looked as open as it was at the back and their only real attacking threat came in the form of Belaili, it was really difficult to see, you know, how that would transform against better teams. Was the spatial awareness at the back, or, you know, the, I guess, disorganisation at the back, Tom, something you were worried about in the game? And do you just think it was a real lack of quality on Ajaccio side that prevented them from scoring?
I really just enjoy thinking about episodes we did a year ago where we were like, oh, this is exciting. And now we've got to pick out the fact that the other opposition had a really terrible attack. I mean, this is how low we've come. It's saddening. But yes, Ajaccio look terrible and they are bound to go down. And as Jonathan said just before the episode started, it's really terrible having Corsican clubs in Ligue 1. I mean, it's better off if they stay down there. So, you know, good for them. They came up for a year, had a good time, brought some fans over. But no, the team is terrible. I mean, obviously, there's some Belaili-type players that should be maybe playing higher up. But clearly, his character showed that he wasn't there. I mean, his attitude towards the end was pretty off. So, yes, you're pretty iconic for your country by playing amazingly in the Arab Cup, like something like 18 months ago. But where did that leave you now? You know, you ended up in a really poor opposition in Ajaccio. So no, I wasn't particularly worried. Good for Kombedi to still get some more minutes before Gusto came back into the squad. And as we've said pretty regularly since he's arrived, Lovren looks really solid. And players around him are going to progress. Maybe not Taliafico because he's got enough experience. But I think Jomande and Lukeba will definitely progress next to someone with that kind of experience. And it doesn't seem to be, I mean, obviously, as I just said, you know, the opposition's attack wasn't great, but he doesn't seem to be out of shape, to be lacking in speed or anything. But has he been really that tested? I don't know, but he's definitely looked good. So we've got to take the positives from that.
Yeah, small positives where we can take them. Another small positive on my end, I think we saw it in the cup performance. We've seen it again against Ajaccio, was Bradley Barcola's impact. I don't think he was necessarily dynamite, but in terms of being able to use his strong feet, which I think are causing problems, he did the same against Brest. And to be able to find plays in the final third, which when you're not scoring goals is a godsend. What did you think to Bradley Barcola against Ajaccio? And, you know, can you see him holding that position down for the rest of the season, Jonathan?
I mean, I think we have no choice. He's the only left winger in the club, really. And I don't think Jefinho is really ready to come off as a starter yet. I don't know. We'll see about that. But Barcola needs time. He needs to improve. He is soft a lot of times and he disappears for stretches. But he's involved, has a great mentality, never seems to complain about anything, which is a nice change with the former left winger that should not be named. And, you know, he still has to finish better. He had a few chances where he's got to finish chances sometimes. And that'll put him to the next level. He reminded me, honestly, of a different style with a young Lacazette. When Lacazette just started at Lyon, how Lacazette was a winger and didn't score very often. It's kind of the same idea. He developed into a striker. And so I think that he will become that. He's going to improve his heading game. I don't think he gets any headers at all, but he's a pretty tall guy. So he still has so much improvement, which is why, you know, it's just odd to be playing at his level for Lyon. You'd think he'd be on loan somewhere and get real playing time at a lower level. But I'm not going to criticize him because it's very pleasant to have someone who tries really hard, who cares, who is progressing, and you can feel like he, you know, he gets along like Lacazette. And at this point, we don't have much this season to root for. It's more of, let's see who's ready for the future. And I'm excited to see the next few months to see if Barcola is ready to be a part of Lyon's future or not. And we'll know. If he plays for the next 4 months, We'll know by the summer if he's ready, and or we'll say he's not good enough, but we'll find out.
Yeah, in, from a player of his perspective and probably other players in the academy, Moelle Roush, Jibril Jib, for example, forwards, attacking midfielders. When you look at Lyon's forward area, it's the weakest it's been in a long time. A couple of new signings who are relatively untested at this level, which we'll speak about later in the episode. You would think that they're probably licking their lips at this moment in time, thinking there's an opportunity to be had to force their way into the first team. And so far, so good for Barcola. He's really taking the opportunity by the scruff of the neck and making that position his own for the foreseeable future with no clear option there besides Amin Sarr, who we'll discuss as a profile later on. I guess moving onwards then to last night's game against Brest. It seemed to me another case of the favourite saying on this podcast, one half FC. In the first half, we played well. Second half, it dropped off a little bit. But the main element is that we weren't able to score a goal despite a plethora of chances. What do you put that down to, Tom?
Well, clinical strikers and Shirky not wanting to shoot. I think that's the two main things, because Shirky definitely got the opportunities to get more out of the keeper, as much as the, you know, the Dutch keeper was in really good form, and you know, out of 24 shots, he must have saved at least 6 or 7. So there was obviously a good goalkeeper on the other side, man of the match. And that's what I told my dad last night. Every time we play a mid-range table club, the goalkeeper's always amazing against us. So all looks amazing. So there's two sides. There's either the keeper brings out terrific performances, or we just don't have the clinical strikers to do better. So when you see Dembele coming on, you're like, yes, wow, beautiful. So we're hoping that Amin Sarr brings a bit of clinical aspect to it. That's definitely not the report I'm getting from the Netherlands, but he might be a good player. We'll get to him later. Don't know. I'd say it's just there's opportunities where Shirky dribbles past one or two players, and then he's got a shooting opportunity and rather wants to sort of walk the ball into the goal, so tries dribbling again, and that, you know, it's incredibly frustrating. So we just need to, I don't know if it's shooting more, because we shot 24 times, which is pretty insane. We just need to be more clinical, and Lacazette needs to get into real shooting positions, because most of his chances came from like really tight angles. We need to get something creative in the dead center, which is Shirky, and he should be doing that. But once he's getting into positions, he's not taking his opportunities. So more clinical and just taking chances to shoot, really.
Yeah, I'd say even though, as you mentioned, the high number of shots we had, there were definitely more opportunities for certain players to shoot in certain situations. Probably Shirky, because he's highlighted in that more than anyone else, because he's on the ball more than anyone else. He's taking more touches than anyone else. He's making more passes than anyone else. Are you of the same opinion of Shirky's performance, Jonathan, that he needs to shoot more? Or do you think when he's been able to play 11 key passes in a game, create 5 chances in one half, do you think that's what we would want more from him? Or is he just trying to bring both parts of his game together to the same level? And then you've got one of the best young attacking midfielders in Europe.
I mean, he's been only a starter for like a month in his whole life. So this is just him learning, you know, how to play the position. It also makes a big difference when he plays on the right wing versus the center. When he's in the right wing, he's not good. He's disappointing. I think he's regressed a lot on that, I have to say, in terms of aggressiveness and one-on-one. I mean, he doesn't really have that punch he had like a few years ago where he would go by players. He's more like slow on every ball now. He plays like a number 10. He actually reminded me a little of Zidane in a way, where his style, where he just wants to be slow and pass the ball everywhere without, you know, dribbling past with his speed, which is what the modern game is. You know, usually when you are on the right wing and you cut back in and you shoot and you go by players, that's how you play the right wing or the left wing position nowadays. So he doesn't fit for that position. In the center, he fits. He's a rare number 10. And he's got to improve his final third. You know, he's got to improve scoring goals and shooting. He should be scoring way more goals. In fact, he's scored only a handful, or is really weak this season. He has opportunities. And I don't think he always made the wrong choices. I think he's actually trying to pass the ball sometimes to players. He wants to give the assist, so it's not selfish. He's not coming off as selfish. He's just coming off as not good in the final third. And he can improve on that, and he will improve on that because we know he can shoot. He's not like Awar, your boy Liam, who really showed that he just doesn't know how to shoot very well. He has scored some nice goals, but he had a problem with that. Cherki knows how to shoot. It's just he's blocking in the final third or making the wrong choices. So I'm excited to see how he develops. Him too, the next few months will be key. I mean, if he really progresses and becomes our player, I think he could be a starter next season at number 10 and build around him, but or not. We'll find out what it really is made of. I just think he needs to be more aggressive and less passive. He just feels a lot like he gets the ball and he's going to pass it to the next guy. I think he's being more conservative in terms of being aggressive. He doesn't want to lose the ball. So he just makes nice passes, and he does good with that because he has both feet. But I wish he was more of a dribbler now because I miss that. I miss someone who would do some, make the difference. And so he hasn't really made the difference. He's just organizing.
I agree with most of what you've said there. I think in terms of the fact in the past when he was possibly moved out to the wide areas because there wasn't the need or the system didn't allow for a central playmaker as such. He was asked to dribble more. He was asked to be a bit more expressive in his play. I think there's probably been some training to bring him back towards a more conservative style. But as you say, that's possibly limited his strong points somewhat in terms of being able to beat a man, stand someone up one-on-one, which you do see sometimes, but not as much as in the past. So it's finding that middle level to be able to get the best out of him. And as you say, playing regularly, working with a coach who seems to trust him. That's one of the benefits I like about Long, if I'm going to give him some credit, is he's given the keys to Cherki somewhat. So yeah, I think that'll come with time, but some of the elements of him shooting I do agree with, but I think some of the criticism is somewhat unfair when he's so influential in the final third with 11 key passes. Is astronomical. It's crazy. Speaking about another point you made there about him being more passive, I want to speak about the midfield pairing of not necessarily Lupin or Moore, Kakré and Tolisso. I saw lots of criticism directed at both of them. More Tolisso being passive and Kakré's possible technical side of the game. What do you think to those criticisms levelled at those two, Tom?
Tolisso, I thought, had a pretty good game, actually. I was a bit surprised. He maybe not the most active person on the pitch, but was pretty decent. Didn't have much defensive work to do, as we said before. I think it's problematic to have Kakré taking free kicks that I just don't grasp. Even Cherki, I'm still struggling to see why. I mean, I see why he would be taking them, but he shouldn't be. Neither of them have good free kick or corner techniques. We had so many opportunities to score, and that was a bit of a shame. But then when you're asking Kakré to play as a 10 at certain points, when we had like Tolisso or like Mendes and Lupin all behind him, it's just really weird to have, you know, Kakré and Cherki as 10s. Or Kakré instead of Cherki as a 10. So that was a bit odd. It puts him in positions where he shouldn't be, and I can see why there's criticism, but it's not his you know, skill. His real skill is getting the ball back and transitioning forward. It's not standing in the middle and waiting for the ball to be played to him and to create opportunities. That's not what he's the best at. I think he's capable of doing it, but against such a compact team on the other side, it's really difficult to create opportunities. So why are you expecting Kakré to do that instead of leaving Cherki for the rest of the game, for example, when he's your best player? So yes, that we first have criticized Kakré this season. I think none of the best youngsters from last year have continued their form. You know, Lukeba, we've agreed that Lukeba has been a bit less good, and Gusto as well. And I think Kakré is fair to say that it hasn't been his best season either. doesn't mean you have to criticize him on things he's not supposed to be doing and expected to do by his manager. So it's a bit harsh, because yeah, we've created opportunities. We didn't look like we were under threat. Maybe at the end of the first half when they started having opportunities to go forward at pace, but otherwise we didn't look under threat, and he played a decent game. So no, the real criticism goes towards having clinical strikers, but we've known that for a while. It's not Kakre's fault that we can't score. So it's a bit unfair.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought, I'm not going to name the account in general, but every second tweet, it's quite a big French account in terms of Lyon following. Every second tweet was just a complaint, whether it be about Cherki, whether it be about Kakre. And personally, I thought in terms of lacking the end product, yes, okay, that's what wins you football matches. But in terms of a performance where Lyon played attractive football, created opportunities, players look to be playing in their correct positions, understand the roles being asked from the manager. The first half under Blanc against Brest this time around, and possibly the first time around against Brest where we won 4-2, are the best embodiments of football we've seen under him so far. So I know it's frustrating when we're not scoring goals, but if they can play like that week in, week out, I do see, you know, there is possible some progression. But we said that after Brest last time round, so it's pointless getting carried away. In terms of the entrance then, Jonathan, Dembele and Thiago Mendes alongside Amin Sarr came on. How do you feel when those sorts of players are coming on for the likes of Tolisso, Cherki in these situations, Barcola as well, and possibly making the team a bit more workmanlike? The team seems to lose direction because players are playing out of position. Do you think that's something that needed addressing in the transfer window?
Yes. I mean, I feel like I have to address this separate ways. I think the criticism was harsh on Long for the substitutions because these are the players he has. His bench is Dembele, is Aouar, is, you know, those are the guys he has that he can put in. And so he just wanted to change players. We have a game again on Saturday. It's very quick pace. He has to make some substitutions to just allow for some players to breathe. Tolisso can't play 90 minutes every game. We know that. And we want to preserve him. He's very important. And Cherki played like 70 minutes. And it's okay to make changes. He made changes. He put players that he had under contract. They're supposed to perform. And yeah, it disorganized at the end. But the end of a match doesn't need to be organized, really, sometimes. Sometimes it's just like everyone in the box, and that's how football works sometimes. And I had no problem with the substitutions. It's just the players who came in didn't do their job. Dembele does nothing. He's a useless player at this point, but he shouldn't be. You know, he should be someone who could help. And you'd think bringing on Dembele for a midfielder or for anyone, that's a good move. It's like, okay, we're going to score. We got another 20-goal scorer coming in. But no, he, at this point, he doesn't care. So it doesn't really work because of the players he has. So that's on the management. It's not on Laurent Blanc. If he had a better bench, he would have more options than he does now. And same with Sarr. Sarr, he's learning it. So I have to talk about the comment on Sarr that was hilarious. I mean, there's this video on Prime Video where Laurent Blanc is interviewed and he's like rocking back and forth like a weirdo, like nonstop. And then he's talking about Sarr and saying how he's been watching him for months and how he's wanted this player. And we're like, there's absolutely no chance that he knew who he was 4 weeks ago. I mean, there's no way that Laurent Blanc is a scout watching Herenveen, and say the name of the team correctly, but watching them.
Not too far off, Herenveen.
Them play, there's no chance that he's watched it before. And so he's acting like he's been watching him for months and he's a scout, he's a great player, and he's talked about the management take him. And it just makes me laugh because you can tell when he plays him, he doesn't know that he's technically a center forward. He was recruited as a left winger because he was told, left winger, we're backing up Toko Ekambi, he'll play left wing. But Toko Ekambi wasn't left winger either. Toko Ekambi is a second striker, same he's a second striker. He's mostly played center forward. He's just fast, so he can play maybe on the wing. So it just shows that, again, Laurent Blanc doesn't know the players. He didn't do any scouting, and so he's putting players in the wrong position because part of it, he just doesn't know better. He's not fully committed to football. He does his job, and when he leaves the job, he goes home and does other things. He doesn't really care. He's not a dedicated, lack of sleep kind of coach. So That's really where we're at. And the blame is definitely on management because they didn't bring him the players he wanted. And if you really were saying we need to salvage the season and we need to make up 10 points on Rennes in the next 20 games, then you would give him, you know, five new players who are all, you could make a real difference right away, impact players, you know. But they didn't do that for him. So they kind of said, you know, the season's over.
Yeah, I think the season was over after transfer deadline day, to be honest. The fact or the failure to be able to recruit the players he wanted really create, well, does it create a fractious relationship between him and the board? Probably not, because he's a man on borrowed time at any other football club. But at this football club, it seems like he'll be given the free rein to change things around and integrate players. Whether that's the right or wrong decision, we'll discuss at another time. But I think your points on Amin Sarr there segue nicely into the transfer section of the episode. We'll start with Amin Sarr, as we've seen him make his debut. Almost scored on his debut as well. I think if it wasn't for Duvern being behind Bizo, they would have probably won the game 1-0. So that's positive in some sense. But on the research I've done on him, he is a striker, technically, naturally, but has a favouring for the left flank. Possibly that's why they've opted for him. I guess similarly to Toko Ekambi, again, has more characteristics of a forward, but has a tendency to drift wide and play in that area. Whether effectively or whatever you want to say about Toko Ekambi, that's what he's done in his time at Lyon. 5 goals and 5 assists, which is 50% of Kieran Vane's goals this season, which is positive on that front. He was a leader as a creator and goal scorer for them. Massively above market value, though, on transfer market. His value at €3.5 million, and Noel have spent what could be, I think it's €11 million initially, and then could rise to €12.5 million. So again, in that sense, it's a massive overpayment, as is Jeffinho, but we'll discuss that next. You've got friends in Holland, Tom, and have possibly seen him while you lived over there. What do you think to the transfer? And have you got any more insight onto what we can expect?
Well, the fact that Blanc has watched Aaron Vane more than I have is a bit of a shock. Aaron Vane are rivals to my club, Groningen, in the north of the Netherlands. So that's a bit of a shock that I've seen maybe one game in the derby this year from him. And it didn't strike me as an incredible talent. Though we did lose that game anyway. So that, you know, whatever. I did talk to my friend Joshua Lindberg, who you talked to as well, I think, Liam. This is one of his last sentences he sent me. He was like, I was in the pub when I heard the news, and the first thing I thought, fuck, we've missed a great strike. We will miss a great striker. My second thought was, wow, that's a lot of money. And I knew it would be one of us. He'll be with us for max 2 years. And this was one of chance we should get to get him off the books. So Lyon bought a striker who, when used in the right way, can be a European top and can be at the same level as Laka or even better, which is slightly promising, but he definitely values the fact that Lacazette can be a mentor for him. Josh was also compared it to Mbappe, which is a bit of a surprise, but it's definitely the element of quick, skillful player. He does say about the comparison with Mbappe is that he doesn't create chances for himself that much or for other people. He needs help to be able to get opportunities in the final third. So it's going to be intriguing. I think the word is going to be maybe interesting could also be a word used, but I think we definitely overpaid for him. It's come out of nowhere, but seeing the success of Scandinavian strikers we've had in the Netherlands, some have turned out okay and all pretty well. So he's not the out-and-out striker we're going to have like Lisandro Lopez we had 10 years ago, but we might get a few goals out of him. Maybe a similar level to Mariano Diaz that we had previous seasons. So it's intriguing. We needed another striker. I think Dembele is not going to want to play again in front of that crowd. But as Jonathan said, Laurent Blanc doesn't have much of a choice for players to bring on. It's not like he's going to have lots of players coming back from injury either. So we're going to have to make do with what we have at the moment and plow for the rest of the season. And the fact that there's maybe not that much pressure to do well this year, you know, it's, you know, there's no Europe to go for, really, because we can't really challenge for much. So let's get him into the team, start making him play, and hopefully we can get some goals out of him.
Yeah, from what I've seen and looked at, which is mainly from comps and FB or FB's underlying numbers, which obviously aren't a true representation of a footballer, I get that. But if you are going to look into his stats, creatively seems quite interesting. He's not necessarily relaying lots of chances, but in terms of the chances that he are relaying, they seem to be of high quality. So if that's anything to go by, if Shirky's got some support in the final third, in terms of creating chances and chances of high quality, particularly he likes to break, using his speed, using his dribbling ability, which are probably his two strengths. That's positive, but again, it's yet to be seen whether that 12 million euros investment, which at this moment in time for Lyon is a lot of money, pays off. Hopefully it does, but this 6 month period when he's coming into a club that's massively low on confidence, lacking on players, there is a need for him to make an instant impact, and it's possibly unfair for a player whose only real top level experience is this year at Heerenveen. He was at Malmo before that and won a couple of league titles, but he was a bit part player making appearances from the bench. So it'll be interesting to see how he progresses. What are your initial thoughts on the transfer, Jonathan? You mentioned that, you know, Blanc's comments, which are obviously bullshit, saying that he knows a lot about the player, etc. But would you have liked to have seen the club go for someone who's a bit more known, possibly has league and experience, could possibly take that leadership role on a bit more further?
I have no problem with this transfer just because he seems like a promising player. Honestly, he does seem like a promising player and he motivated to come. I just think he's not the savior that's going to save the season. That's not his role. He's a promising future player and it's good to have them. Of course, you don't have to overpay because we have no project. So we can't sell them on an ambitious project like Marseille will do right now, where we'll get a player under market sometimes because they'll convince them how good a team they are. Us, we're right now in the stage where we need to overpay to get the players we want because with a similar opportunity, the player will want to go somewhere else or a similar offer. So that's what we're doing now. I have no problem with this offer. I just think he's not a left winger. He's Lacazette's understudy. He's Dembele's replacement. That's what he is. He's not Tokoe Kambi left wing replacement, in my opinion. And so for me, we didn't get a left winger and we still get a right winger. So we have no one really. It's just a complete change of lineup where it should be two up front now. And that's kind of, you know, two up front with Shirky behind it. That's kind of what this forces to me if I was adapting. I think it's unfair to him if you were to play him in his wrong position, kind of like coordinated for so many years where they clearly have talent, but you put them in the wrong position and then people start thinking they're not good players and it kind of ruins their career. So Sarr is a good recruit, overpaid, but of course we should have gotten another player. We should have gotten someone who could start and immediately become better than what we have. You know, kind of a, like I said, kind of player, someone who comes in who's a top player on our team who would make a difference. And we didn't do that because they didn't want to spend the money or they don't have the ideas.
Yeah, probably a lack of talent identification in the sporting sense as well. That's probably what I would put that down to. Again, I'm sure there would have been more opportunities to bring in a experienced player on loan, as there was lots of loan signings happening at the end of the transfer window. I mean, Ziyech didn't go through, for example. Not saying I'd want Ziyech at Lyon. He can be a bit of a troublemaker at times. But it would have still been a significant upgrade on anything Lyon have got in the final third. Tom said some bits to Lyon there. I extremely doubt that he would have had any interest in joining Lyon when Chelsea and Manchester United were interested in him. But again, you're looking at those sorts of moves where players from big clubs aren't getting minutes and are looking to, you know, cement themselves with football for the second half of the season. And lots of those transfers did go through on the final days of the window. So it's not like they weren't available. I just, as you just said, Jonathan, I don't think the club were clever enough or inventive enough to try and find those deals that were there to be done. So it's one of those things. It's something that we're used to. The other winger, or forward as you like, if you want to call him, that's come in is called Jefinho. His real name is Jefferson Rodriguez de Santos or something like that, but Jefinho for short. What are your takes on this, Jonathan? I'm coming to you first because you're our resident South American football expert. From what you've seen of him, possibly for Botafogo, which is obviously convenient considering the club's two evident links now with a shared owner. His stats don't make for the most promising reading in 5 goal contributions in 24 appearances this season. 23, Brazilian right winger. What more can you tell us about him? And do you think he's ready for a club like
Lyon? No, he's not ready for a club like Lyon. And I think John Textor just wanted to keep a player in his ego group because he didn't want to lose him. I'm not sure if it's ego thing or whatever, but talk about overpaying. On Transfermarkt, he's 1.5 million. And that's because it was up increased after we got him. Before it was 300,000. So he really is kind of not ready for this level. He's very, and also something people should know, he's 23 years old. He's not really a prospect. At this point, you're entering the prime years of your career. And so this is his product. He could improve, of course, a little bit, but he's not a 19-year-old who still has room to grow. He's 23. He's an exciting player, really classic Brazilian player, but I have no idea what he would be like. He doesn't finish plays very well. And when he played with Botafogo and I used to watch him, he's sloppy. He's a sloppy finisher, but he's exciting. He kind of reminds me of Nuno Tavares in a way. I think that's a good comparison, except Nuno Tavares seems to have shown more because he's played for better clubs and better leagues. So I don't know what we're going to see from Jefinho. I think it'd be fun to see him, off the bench 10, 15 minutes. But I think I think he might have a hard time adjusting to Ligue 1 because when you watch his style against in the Brazilian league, players are not very aggressive defensively in the Brazilian league. They very much give you space and they let you do your thing, and it's all low blocks, or low defensive blocks. There's no pressure. There's no full court pressure or full field pressure or any of that. And Ligue 1 is known to be one of the leagues with the most defensive pressure everywhere. And some teams give you no time on the ball. So I'm not sure he's going to adapt. And that concerns me. That transfer, I think, is a concerning transfer because it's a lot of money on a player that doesn't – I think Lyon should loan him. I think they should have bought him and loaned him back. That's what I would have done. He's not ready, and – I hope I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. I hope I'm wrong. But I just think he needs more time. And I don't want to judge him because he's going to make a lot of mistakes.
Thanks for that assessment. I mean, more than us in relative terms to me. I've never heard of the player. I've never seen him play. I've not even taken the time to dissect and look at his numbers or anything like that because the numbers aren't available. What do you think of the assessment Jonathan's just given there, Tom, and also the fact that, in my opinion, the transfer has been completed because the club was struggling and panicking to get somebody in on the final days of the window, and because of John Textor's position as owner of Botafogo, as owner of Lyon, the transfer could be completed seamlessly without any complications.
Yeah, I like the fact that you think that Jonathan was the owner of Botafogo. I heard you were going for that one, for that sense. I'd only heard about the player because he's got one of the most fantastic names in Brazilian football. Jefinho is so... It's amazing. Otherwise, no, I'd never seen the guy. I've watched some compilations. Obviously, there's really... not popular, but one that's trending in the OL community, I don't know if it's made by an OL supporter, by a Marseille supporter, but his last 5 shots with Botafogo, where all of them end up on the parking lot, which I thought was quite amazing. But it did show he had a good turn of pace, which I think is a good thing. Seems like he always wants to go forward, which is also a positive. When you remember the years of Rudy Garcia, where everything was played in U-shaped and... Tuku Ekambi was one of those where he always wants to go backwards. So at least we've got someone who wants to go forward, even if he's going to make mistakes. There's that positive of striving towards goal. But as you said, you know, I've not watched the guy. It's possible. The transfer was made possible by Textor. The fans are seemingly pretty gutted in Brazil about him leaving, but still think it's overpaid and that he was going to go at some point, but maybe not to a club of the historical stature of Lyon. Obviously, now we're a 10th in the league. So I don't know what that says about us, but you know, the stature of the club should have meant aiming for higher. It's a panic buy made possible by Textor. At least you've got a body on the line and we've got something different to show for. If he's really going to be really good, great. He's going to bring something different. I'd still think Barcola is going to start in the coming games until Sarr gets his footings and starts playing a bit more. I hope it's just not a bit pop, you know, appearances from Jorginho. He can come off the bench and just run for it. So we might get a bit of electricity, and him and Shirky together would be interesting. One wants the ball at his feet. Jonathan, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like he's not necessarily the go behind the defense type of player. He wants the ball at his feet and he's going to run at defenses rather than make runs.
Yes, Jorginho reminds me a lot of Neymar in this style of play. Obviously, completely different skill level. What he wants the ball is at his feet. He doesn't want to take long runs, even though he's fast. That's not his style. He wants the ball, wants to dribble, wants to do a few fun things, and is very tight to his left wing. He's a really left winger, kind of like Tete was a right winger, really where they only know how to play on the wing. He's not center at all. That's why his stats are kind of low, because he doesn't come close to the goal that often unless the defense just lets him go by you. So for him to score a goal, he has to go by a few players. The one thing I want to add, though, about Jorginho is... I forgot what I was going to say about Jorginho. But he is a good prospect, just not ready for this league. I forgot what I was going to say.
That's fair enough. I think we're all in a sense of despair about the transfer, if I'm honest. You know, I do like the sense of the interconnection between clubs and owners and the transfer of players when it works successfully. I'm thinking the City model with Hirona and Melbourne City and New York City and Troyes, for example.
Oh,
but
I knew what to say. I can say it now. The problem with this recruit, this thing is, usually when you have a transfer, you know the formation of the team. The coach sets a formation. He says, I want a 4-3-3, so I want a left winger, I want a right winger, I want a striker. And they select players that fit the mold. Here, he's really a left winger who plays either a 4-4-2 or a 4-3-3. He's a left hardcore winger. He can't play in you know, the up to the second striker. So if the new formation now is there's no right winger, so we just play two up front with Cherki behind, then Jorginho doesn't have a position. And if we are 4-3-3, then Barcola plays on the left. Who plays on the right? Cherki? Cherki doesn't play on the right either. So it's just there's something wrong with the options, because we don't have enough players to fill up either a 4-3-3 competently or two up front. If we do two up front, then is it Barcola who's going to play up front with Lacazette, or is it Sarr? And that seems to eliminate Jorginho. I think that's what the formation we had yesterday, or when we record this, I'll come out, but when we played against Brest, was two up front with Cherki behind him, which seems to be the new formation. But that means Jorginho can't play in either of those positions. So I'm not sure what's the point of these, and that shows, again, there's no sporting direction when the players don't fit the formation. And Blanc doesn't have a defined formation, because he's not really pragmatic, not under the right term, but he doesn't have an idea of what he really wants to do.
Yeah, it's very difficult for new players to come into a football club and action what they're being asked to do when the coach has no idea, because the starting lineup changes every game, the formation changes every game, what's asked of players changes every game. But as you saw in the first half against Brest, if you stick to a team that knows its position, is playing in the correct positions, and you give it the opportunity to go out and there and do things, it's possible that things can improve. But again, I don't think Blanc is the coach for that. My last, I guess, topic or subject of this transfer would be that I like the interclub models of players moving from one to another, City with Tuar and Hirona, for example. Chelsea did it a lot in the past with Vitesse Arnhem as well, but I don't think this is a good start to Lyon's connection with Botafogo as part of Eagle football in any stretch. Obviously, I hope he can prove me wrong, but massively overpaying for a player because the club had no general transfer direction. And if you take the track of João Gomes, which was stimulated by Texter, if you take the track of Jeffinho, which was stimulated by Texter, that the recruitment team have essentially any idea or direction in where to recruit, which brings me nicely onto the last point of the transfer window, was the debacle of trying to sign a defensive midfielder. Which names do we start with? Elias Skiri, Florian Grilicic, Timo Ibakayoko. I even saw Blaise Matuidi on the timeline at one point. Pathé Cisse is probably the most one that got closest, but again, that never came through. What a shambles, Tom.
Honestly, I mean, you talked about the interclub model. At least we got Camillo out of the club with Molenbeek. That's a positive. The poor thing, he's never played a game. Even the commentators were like, well, some guy called Camillo has left the club, but we don't know who that is. So it was like, yeah, we don't either. In French, the translation of six is six, and the fact that they went for, is it Papis, his first name? Yeah, Papis Six. I was like, oh, for 6 million?
Yeah. See, I think okay, it's well. Pathé. Pathé Six.
For 6 million as well. It was just fantastic. And then it was written the devil all over it. It was sixes everywhere. And the shield came out of the fire of the last day of transfers. And I was like, I have made my deal. I have not signed a player and now you're doomed. And my club is happy. Disappointing transfer deadline day. Obviously, you've got all the Chelsea fans going all over the place about Enzo Fernandez. And even as a United fan, I'm happy that we got Sabitzer. But like, just going through the timeline on the last 2 days of the transfer window as a Lyon fan was just fantastic. It was one hell of a watch. Every 2 minutes, you got a new notification from L'Équipe saying, Lyon might side Timo Bakayoko. Oh no, it's off. oh, there's another deal coming out for Cisse. Oh no, we don't know who that is, and he's not on anymore. So, who cares? Transfer deadline day, be transfer deadline day. So that's what happened to Lyon, and we didn't sign anyone. And now we don't have another six, and we're gonna have to continue playing Dembele and Thiago Mendes, who was supposed to leave as well. At least the positive I saw this morning that Damian da Silva might leave for Australia because the window's still open over there. So we might get one guy out of the books at least. Who knows? So, slight progress, but it was another terrible transfer deadline day and definitely a terrible transfer window.
Yeah, the transfer window element just makes you think they were so quick to be able to get the Lovren deal over the line, which again, in a sense, with what Lovren's produced so far, I'll give them some small credit, but the fact they spent the next 27 days of the transfer window and then tried to sign six number sixes on deadline day and failed miserably with every single one just shows you the incompetence of the recruitment team. And then again, you can mention Bruno Giroud's jollies on holiday in Brazil for a week as well, trying to convince a player after initial negotiations told him to Foxtrot Oscar, which in other words means sticking up your two fingers, saying, I don't want to come to Lyon, please leave me alone. And then pestered him for the next week, and his agents may as well have resigned a restraining order to say, you know, the negotiations are done, but we'll keep trying. And then again, as he moved on, he ended up moving to Wolves, which is what he wanted to do in the first situation. What marks out a 10 are you giving Bruno Giroud for this fantastic transfer window, Jonathan, after my rant's over?
I mean, there's no way you can be positive. I mean, Lovren is a good transfer, but the part that's crazy to us, and, you know, we've known for, what, 3 months that Lyon needs improvements. And we had this whole BS that they told us, oh yeah, it's the World Cup and we have a whole month off in November where we're going to work so hard and we're going to prepare so that right on January 1st, we're going to be ready to go. And then guess what happens? Well, we get the one guy, Lovren, quite transfer. But of course, the funny part is he's coming back, you know, he's a returning player. So it's not like this creative, amazing guy. It's, you know, but a good transfer. And of course, he's the World Cup player that showed up. He was good during the World Cup. And so people are interested in seeing his performances at Lyon. But the part that is really poor is he spent then a month with no ideas, getting no one that really can help the club. And he rejected players that were interested. And then the one that made me laugh the most was Bakayoko, that one. When I saw that one, I laughed out loud because the guy hasn't played a game in a year, I think. No games. And you're going to bring him on a 6 month loan to help right now, and you think he's going to be the guy? I mean, it was just so laughable. And but you know, I think we're just talking. Everyone agrees at this point. I don't think there's many people who would say he's doing a good job. So there's no point really piling on. It's just the lack of preparation when you had months to do it. I really think he might be the worst sporting director I've ever seen. It's really not that hard. The people on Twitter could do better than this. It's really not difficult to find some names of players who are interested. But he just doesn't seem to do it. So. I'm disappointed by this project. I'm ready to be hopeful again. I'm ready to be positive. And I would really like it if we could get rid of him and tell us we'll have hope for the future. You know, give us a new project and I'll be happy. I don't care if we're 10th for a few more seasons. Just we need a new project. I can't keep thinking we're going to keep him for another transfer window. Just he needs to go.
Yeah. Nothing else to say on that point. I agree with everything you've said. I think you've described the fact he's incompetent, has no real ability to negotiate, as you've seen from him spending a week in Brazil with a player who had no interest in coming to Lyon. You know, the fact that it took him...
Real a nice time this time of year. I mean, it's summer there.
For his personal point of view, which now he's got the next 4 months to do as he pleases, sat there. You know, he'll be at the press conference tomorrow, but after that, he'll probably go back into hibernation for 4 months. Yeah, there's no real reason why somebody that has no idea to act as a recruitment director should continue to be a recruitment director, but that's the state of
it. And the worst part of all this is Olas saying he's going to be promoted. He's going to be promoted as a sporting director.
Sporting director Bruno Cheru, no thanks, but that's just the situation we're in. I guess the other element is that we've let Gusto go to Chelsea, Tom, for 35 million euros, rising to 40. He's back with us for 6 months, but what are your thoughts on that transfer, the transfer fee, the element of him coming back for 6 months and not opting to sign a replacement now and wait to the summer?
Well, I think having him until the end of the season is important. I really can't even imagine what kind of player would have got through the door if we got someone through the door. You know, we probably finished the season with Kumbedi and someone else from the academy. Not that it's a diss on Kumbedi, who's been pretty decent, but still, like, we can't finish the season with just him. So, I mean, Chelsea planning ahead. You know, we saw them buy literally everyone from Football Manager over the last few months. Gusto seemed to be on the cards to make a move to Chelsea or to Newcastle or Arsenal or United, whatever. But he was going to leave in the summer anyway. So at least we don't have to worry about that sale this summer. Hopefully that money doesn't go into a new McDonald's. That's the only issue I have. We'll get to see when that money comes, because knowing Chelsea, it's probably going to be deferred on the next 5 years or something. So we're never going to get that money anyway. So it's probably, I'm shared on the price, because I think last season, if we'd sold him last summer, we would have had 50 million out of him, probably. But because he's been poor this year, I guess 35 is just about right. But it's a logical sale. I just don't think he's going to play very much, because Reece James and Aspie are going to be ahead of him.
Yeah, from a player sense, he's got a big job on his hands. Aspilicueta will probably move on at the end of the season, but even still... But still,
James is going to be playing every game.
If James can recover from his injury worries, which have kept him out for the most of this season, you would expect that what Gusto's given, although the fact he's only 19, he can still improve. He's not going to have enough to displace who is one of the best fullbacks in the world. So, yeah, difficult transfer for me to understand in that sense, but I do think he has some qualities that will suit the Premier League. I'm the same as you on the fee. I think 40 million euros as a maximum fee we can get is fair considering what we've seen from him this season. In terms of other departures, Jonathan, is there anyone else who left in the final days of the window that you were disappointed to see leave?
Not really. I mean, we needed some departures. I don't really understand the project again. You know, Fev leaving, sad for him. You know, he never really had a chance, but hopefully he gets to play at Lorient and gets back. You know, Toko's gone. That's good. You know, there's not, you know, the Edouard J again on RMC is all talking about how the club is very happy with their window because they think that the main purpose of the window was to let people go. And to this is the, you'll see this is what you hear tomorrow at the press conference. The hardest part of being a sporting director is having players leave. It's much harder to have players leave than players come in. And so, based on that criteria, Lund did a really good job because they got players to leave, which is going to help the team because it's going to jolt the locker room and put a different environment and a different vibe. And so that's what they're going to go with as why it's success. And I don't know if that's true. If it's, I mean, I know it's hard to sell players, but we didn't sell anyone. We sold Gusto, but everyone else is just a loan. Loans are easy to do. You give them almost a free deal for a new player that they have really very very little risk, and they don't have options to buy. Having an option to buy is much harder to include because the team is committing to pay it, or if they want him. But here, there's no option, so completely nothing job. So no, there's no one that I regret leaving. It's just I wish we had got removed of Dembele, of course, but Dembele did not willing to go to Southampton because he thinks he's going to be the new top player at Chelsea. And Aouar surprisingly got an offer from Roma, and he said no. And then apparently Manchester before Sabitzer was interested for a quick second, saying the last minute day, but we get Aouar. But you know. To Aouar, I don't feel bad. He tried to leave last year, and you know, I understand him. I don't think he's in it for the money. I think he just wants. He knows his career's in shambles, and he needs an opportunity. He wants to have the most options he can. And so, when you're a free agent, you have more options. And I really think that he could have an option. I would see him signing with City with Guardiola. It sounds crazy, but Guardiola loves the guy, and there's no risk. You can give him a small salary on the bench, and he can learn from him. I think Aouar still has value to certain coaches who think they could do it. And Dembele, though, he's my enemy of the club. Guy hasn't wanted to leave for years, even though he gets no playing time. Just, I don't get the guy. He wants his signing bonus. I just hope he pulls a denier again and goes to, you know, a club that plays nothing. You know, and I wanted to go to Southampton just so they got relegated and he goes back to second division. I thought that'd be good karma for him. But
the Dembele hate with a vengeance on the Football English podcast. But no, you make a fair point in terms of players leaving the club. I think the loan signings, obviously, they're not permanent, so it's difficult to judge them. But I don't know if the Roma offer was actually concrete. It was muted, but it was muted in the summer as well. But the Dembele stuff from UK was coming from reliable sources. So the fact that didn't materialise probably shows where the player is at in terms of I've got no ambition to play for Lyon for the rest of the season, but I want a fancy 7 or 8 million euro sign-on bonus with whoever he signs for in the summer. Whether that's a big club or not, I'm not so sure. But again, it's one of those things. I think Lyon would be, even though he's not producing a lot from the bench, would be weaker in forward areas without him. It's a body for the rest of the season. That's the way I look at it. I guess in terms of what the club failed to do in the transfer window, Tom, last question. What do you think they got massively wrong? Was it a six? Was it not signing attacking midfielder, recruiting long short-term options rather than long-term options? What do you think they failed to address in the window?
I think there's just lack of clarity on what was needed, because as Jonathan said, you know, if we don't have a defined set of positions or tactical dispositions, we don't know. If currently, as Jonathan said, we don't need a Jefinho because we don't have any wingers. I think the sale of Tete is also a great example of how poorly the club's been managed, because we could have put in an offer of 15 million this summer for Tete and actually get a sale out of him. He's one of the brighter Brazilian talents coming out at the moment, and Leicester would have definitely put 30 million on the table to get him in. So instead of losing him mid-season and for 3 million or something, then we would have had some proper money to spend. But as we don't need wingers, or we don't have any proper wingers since Tete left, I can't even say that it was a winger that we needed, because we don't. I think a defensive midfielder that could have come into the squad and progressively either be like a proper body, you know, play like a Cacré, Tolisso, and then the extra player, that would have been great. That's why I mentioned in the chat, like Dooney, who apparently Shaw said was not interested. So if they were really working during the World Cup, they would have at least watched France games. And Lai Duni was amazing against France. And he left for 2 million to Union Berlin. So that's not even that much money. There were so many great players from the World Cup, but even outside of the World Cup, that could have signed for Lyon and in that position. So I really think it's defensive midfielder. Not that I have any issue with Le Penant at all. I just think there's a possibility of us getting someone else, even to rotate with him or start ahead of him, like a tall, not Yaya Toure type of player, but somewhat tall and physical to break up attacks and be able to bring the ball forward as well. Something that Thiago Mendes can't do anymore.
Yeah, he's not really shown much like doing that in his last two or three seasons at Lyon, switching from centre-back to central defensive midfield, etc. No, I agree. I think Le Penon has the quality to play there, but, you know, having the safety net for someone else who can play that role that's of a possibly better level could push him on even further. And I think somewhat with the criticism we were speaking about Cacré earlier, I think he's comfortable in where he is in terms of, you know, there's no one behind him like a terrier at his feet saying, you know, I'm coming for your position. Because despite there being options in midfield for Lyon, the midfield seems to pick itself now for the rest of the season. So another option would have been brilliant. But when, you know, with the sporting department we've discussed, I don't think it was ever really credible that you were going to get someone of high quality on deadline day anyway. I think that's it for this week's episode. We've dissected the majority of it. We'll be back next week for the game against Troyes and everything else that's going on with Lyon. I'm sure there'll be another scandal or story before then. But thanks as always for listening, and we'll see you on the next one. Cheers, guys. Bye.